Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Dylan of the Campus Conflict Resolution Services podcast. This week, we will be talking about how your personal values and perspective can frame and affect your judgment when it comes to conflicts. We'll be talking about a tale called The Alligator River Story, which presents us with some ethical dilemmas involving some rather unique characters. So without further ado, allow me to share with you this epic tale. Once upon a time, there was a woman named Abigail, who was in love with a man named Gregory. Gregory lived on the shore of a river. The river, which separated the two lovers, was teeming with man-eating alligators. Abigail wanted to cross over to be with Gregory. Unfortunately, the bridge had been washed out, so she went to ask Sinbad, a riverboat captain, to take her across. He said he would be glad to if she would consent to go to bed with him preceding the voyage. She promptly refused and went to a friend named Ivan to explain her plight. Ivan did not want to be involved at all in this situation. So Abigail felt her only alternative was to accept Sinbad's terms. Sinbad fulfilled his promise to Abigail and delivered her into the arms of Gregory. When she told Gregory about her amorous escapade in order to cross the river, Gregory cast her aside with disdain. Heartsick and dejected, Abigail turned to Slug with her tale of woe. Slug, feeling compassion for Abigail, sought out Gregory and beat him brutally. Abigail was overjoyed at the sight of Gregory getting his due. As the sun sets on the horizon, we hear Abigail laughing at Gregory. Interesting story, no? I find one of the most prominent questions we have to ask ourselves after hearing this tale is, who are the heroes and who are the villains? I'm sure our listeners already have an answer to this question bouncing around in your heads, but I can guarantee you that there is more than one legitimate answer. Before we do answer this question, though, I'd like to revisit our lesson from last week's show about the five different approaches to conflict. If you're just tuning in for the first time today, I'll go over them quick. Approach to conflict is avoidance, which involves you deciding that the conflict is not worth the trouble and simply casting it aside instead of dealing with it head on. The next is accommodation, which happens when you value your relationship with the person you're in the conflict with more than the outcome of the conflict itself, so you tend to give more ground than you get. The third is the competitive approach. This is when you approach the conflict as though it was a win-lose situation. Usually this happens when the outcome is far more important to you than the relationship you share with the person you're in conflict with. The fourth approach is compromise. This is the 50-50 approach, where you are willing to give a little bit, but you're also expecting to give a little bit. Commonly, this is used when you both value the relationship and the outcome of the conflict. The final way to approach conflict is collaboration. This approach is similar to compromise, but the goal is to have the discussion with the other party that allows you both to get exactly what you want out of your situation. By working together and utilizing both your perspectives, you can find the incredibly rare win-win outcome. Now let's go back to our story about the Alligator River. What approaches did you think the characters used in their conflicts, and do you feel they were successful? Let's start with Abigail, who I would say used the accommodation approach. She was willing to cast aside her values and needs just so she could preserve her relationship with Gregory. Yet in the end, he didn't view her sacrifices as noble and cast her aside. Was there a better approach to her conflict that would have allowed her to get what she wanted? I'm not sure myself. Sinbad is a clever negotiator after all. Next, why don't we look at Sinbad, the riverboat captain? I would say that he used a compromising approach to get what he wanted while also giving Abigail what she wanted. He knew he had the power in this negotiation and used it to get what he wanted from Abigail since he seemed to care more about winning, in other words, getting laid, than preserving a positive relationship with the lady. But that's not to say he didn't stay true to his word, and he did take Abigail across the river, payment for services rendered, if you will. Now we can talk a little bit about Ivan, someone who simply avoided the conflict altogether. Abigail came to him in her time of need and asked for help, but he decided that the problem wasn't worth his time and turned his back on her. Using avoidance here showed that he cared little about his relationship with Abigail and also cared very little about the outcome of this conflict. Does that make him a villain? I'm not too sure myself. Next up is Gregory, the man on the other side of the river Abigail was so desperate to get to. When he found out the means Abigail used to cross the river, he cast her aside. I would consider this another use of the avoidance approach to conflict. But you might also consider it to be slightly competitive. He didn't exactly get what he wanted of the situation, as he instead decided Abigail was not worth his time. Many might argue that Gregory is the villain due to this, but the more we learn about these characters, the harder I find it is to consider anyone purely good or purely evil in their intentions. After all, we have to look at Slug, a man who took the conflict into his own hands and assaulted Gregory. This is most definitely a case of the competitive approach to conflict. He knew he wanted to avenge his friend and did not care about continuing his relationship with Gregory past this issue. So instead of talking to Gregory, he simply beat the tar out of the man, leaving Abigail laughing at Gregory's misfortune. When you look at the story after analyzing how these characters approach their conflict, there might be some debate about who was the best and who was the worst. This is because all of us as individuals carry our own values and experiences into any conflict we participate in or even just observe. Maybe Abigail isn't the hero due to her indulgence and revenge in the manipulation of Slug. Maybe Sinbad is a hero because he got exactly what he wanted out of the situation while also helping Abigail cross the river. Gregory might not be so bad because he might hold sympathy for a man who finds out his love cheated on him for what she thought was a good reason. Slug might appear heroic due to taking vengeance upon Gregory, who you personally see as a villain. But someone else might see him as a victim, which would make Slug a villain in their eyes. Even Ivan, who tried to stay neutral through this avoidance of the conflict, might seem either slightly villainous or slightly heroic, depending on whether you see Abigail's plight as worthwhile or simply a waste of time. I'm going to try my hand at ranking these characters from most heroic to least heroic. Here we go. The most heroic to me is Slug, who stood up for his friend in a time of need and made her laugh. The second most heroic in my eyes is Abigail, a woman who gave up her values to be with the man she loves. The middle road character for me would be Sinbad, a man who saw an opportunity to get what he wanted while also helping someone in need. The second most villainous character in my eyes is Ivan, who decided to ignore the plight of his friend in an attempt to avoid conflict altogether. Finally, the most villainous character in my eyes is Gregory, who refused to see past his own needs and values and appreciate the sacrifices his lover made for him. Again, this is just my opinion. If you disagree with me, please send us an email. We'd love to hear our listeners' input on the Alligator River story. Feel free to share your own character rankings with us. If you have any comments or questions on how CCRS can help you, or if you have any show suggestions, feel free to email us at ccrs@durhamcollege.ca. Now, we have a special guest who's coming to talk about one of their own personal conflicts, Crystal Stevens. Hi, Crystal. It's lovely to have you on the show today to share one of your conflicts with us. I have some questions to get the ball rolling, if you don't mind. First of all, could you summarize your conflict for us?
It was actually a falling out with a best friend, almost family member, after 22 years. We also lived together and worked together at the same time while all this went down, so it was actually extremely stressful. There are a million different factors involved in it, and I don't have the time to get into those right now, but we can continue.
Sure, that's terrible to hear. I'm sorry to hear about that. What level of conflict would you classify this dispute as? Mild, moderate, or severe?
In the grand scheme of things, mild. You know, it's not world-ending by any means. It's not affecting everybody, but it was severe on a very personal level because that relationship is over and done with now.
Well, who do you consider the primary disputants in this conflict? Are there secondary or tertiary people that were affected by this argument?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the primary individuals were her and myself. The secondary people could have been co-workers because, as I said, we did also work together, and then also friends and family because we were living together. So really, it was all together.
Oh, that sounds like a bit of a mess there. What was your approach to this conflict? And do you think it was the most successful approach you could have taken?
This is kind of a tricky question. Given that we've had 22 years of background, we have had several discussions and tried to communicate, but it seems that our patterns of behavior just couldn't be overcome. We would have a great honeymoon phase for about 2 weeks. You know, everyone's doing what they said they were going to do. And then we were both right back to that perpetual cycle of bothering each other. And it was never ending for 22 years. You can only deal with that so much.
Of course, we're only human after all. Of the five ways to approach conflict, which do you tend to prefer to use in your own life? Competing, avoiding, accommodating, collaborating, or compromise?
Ideally, I would like to collaborate. I know, though, personally, I am a turtle. I do like to avoid, but that's mainly because I know that my anger burns hot fast, but it's also gone really, really quickly. So I'm talking like not even a day, and I'm over it, like no matter how big the problem is. And I understand now that not everybody works the same way.
Yes, we're all quite different in how we deal with conflict. Which of these five styles do you feel the person you are in conflict with approached the dispute with?
She is a total tiger. She's a major competitor. It has been throughout her whole entire life. Sports, the whole entire nine yards. It's just a thread that's followed through. But when we've got into discussions and things like that, she always ends up throwing her hands up and saying, "I can't win with you." So right there, her words are saying, I need to win. So she's competitive in nature.
Yes, I need to win and you need to lose. I've dealt with people like that before. So which of these five styles do you find most difficult to work with when in conflict with someone?
I've got to say the tiger, and you know, the competitive nature, because as I said, I'm one of those people that need to take a step back and take a deep breath and think about things so that my mouth doesn't get me in trouble by just firing off when I'm all emotional and angry and things like that.
It can be hard to censor yourself in the moment. What would you do differently if you could go back in time and have a second go at dealing with this conflict?
That is certainly a tough question, because as I mentioned before, we communicated lots and it was just a vicious perpetual cycle. Hindsight tells me that I would not live with her and work with her again, and our relationship would still be perfectly intact.
Hindsight is 20/20, though. So do you have any advice for our listeners who might find themselves in a conflict similar to your own with someone that's such a close part of their lives?
Bite the bullet. Talk to them, not at them, and listen to understand, not to speak. And at the end of the day, everyone's actions are louder than words.
Great advice, Crystal. Last question, I promise. I know you are heavily involved with the Campus Conflict Resolution Service here at Durham College. I was wondering if there's anything you'd like to promote about the service here on our Blog Talk radio show.
Absolutely. It is student-run services. It is completely free and confidential, and we would love to help you out with any conflicts you may be going through in your life.
Well, thanks so much for coming in to talk with us, Crystal. This is Dylan reminding you all that the art of listening is not about waiting for your turn to speak. Tune in February 11th for the next segment of our show,